Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Ronnie Headley about the haunting of Native American spirits. Are there times, though, where something, you know, for example, like that highway and you know, let's say a subdivision that gets built on burial grounds, is there ever a way to truly appease that or to make it good other than putting the land back and the remains back as to where they were?
Yeah, you can have it, you know, have it blessed and do ceremonies on it and leave offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, appease them again.
Almost like saying, I'm sorry.
It's kind of like, I'm sorry. That's like one of the things about natives people don't realize. If we go out hunting, say, and kill a deer, the first thing we do, we don't take that deer.
Mm-hmm.
We say a prayer. We thank the Creator for providing it. We thank the deer for giving its life, for food for us and our families, the hide for clothing,
mm-hmm.
the bones for tools, and we leave offerings for it, tobacco offerings. Yeah,
sure.
Same thing. If you cut a tree, you do the same thing. You leave a tobacco offering for the tree, and you thank the tree for providing it. You know, providing warmth for you, or wood for you, or whatever you needed it for.
Sure.
So it's always, you know, it's always a balance to the native people. It's a balance between nature. You're taking, but you're also giving back.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing with this. If you've gone in and done that, if you make appeasement by saying your prayers and leaving the offerings and everything to show that you didn't come in a bad way, that you came in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needs to be done sometimes.
It's kind of like an exchange. It's kind of reversing the energy, if you will. It's on a track of negativity, whether it's intentional or not. And one comes and says, wait a second, we're going to turn this around. This is not what we want or what we intend here now. And then it's a, you know, I'm sorry, let's try and make peace.
Sure.
Does that always work? You know, is that something that is a foolproof method, if you will? Or sometimes can those vengeful spirits be quite vengeful?
Most of the time it will work. Mm-hmm. If you've gone in and done something in a really bad way, then I wouldn't expect it to work.
Okay.
You know, if you've gone in and desecrated the graves and, you know, destroyed and banged up the bones and mm-hmm. taken stuff, you know, if you've taken stuff and put in, you know, your house, if you found arrowheads or pottery or necklaces or, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, and you took it and just put it into a collection and locked it away, I don't think there's any appeasing for that, because you've taken something that didn't belong to you.
That's an interesting one, and I want to talk about arrowheads in a moment. In fact, we'll go to it right now, since we're kind of right on it. Arrowheads. This is something, you know, I grew up and it was, people would have, I'm from Wisconsin originally. Mm-hmm. And we have obviously a lot of Native American tribes all over there and a lot of, you know, places where go hiking and stuff. And every once in a while you would find an arrowhead. I was never lucky enough to find one. I always heard of other people who did. But a couple years back, I was out hiking in Missouri, and I came across my very first ever seeing outside of someone else's collection or in a museum or something. I came across one on an old abandoned wagon trail road in the middle of the woods that very few people know it exists. And I was like, oh, I finally found one. And my my wife at the time said, put it back. Do not take that. And I'm like, but I left it. I get it out of respect. But is that something, if all these years later, let's say you're not digging, you're not going and excavating things, you just, oh my gosh, it's just sitting here. Is that something that's okay to take, you know, with respect, not to like, you know, add to a, you know, big bull box or something, but like, this is, you know, is there ever a way to do that respectfully?
Sure. Always. If I find something and everything, I'll leave a pinch of tobacco.
Okay. Behind,
you know, cause you took something, you left something.
Okay. That's but, the balance.
On that question and everything too. If you're out on a, like you say, on a wagon trail and everything else,
yeah,
that probably at one point was a Native American foot trail, because that's what they did, is they went through the foot trails and then just extended and made wagon roads when the Europeans came in and started, you know, going from location to location. So that could have been an arrowhead that he had in a pouch or something for hunting. And, you know, it just fell out of his pouch, or he might've thrown a spear at an animal and, you know, missed, and it broke off and landed there. I mean, there could be a thousand different things on it. So usually those are okay. What I get into is like when, you know, there's village sites where there's barrels and things like that.
Sure.
And you start digging down into those areas and taking arrowheads and things from those areas, then you're taking something that's probably that was left for the dead.
Sure.
Because they were buried with their bows and their knives and their arrows and, you know, their quivers and things that they would need in the next life.
Mm-hmm.
When you get out to the Plains Indians and everything, they would even lead their horse over to the grave and shoot the horse, you know, and bury the horse with them, because, you know, that was going to be needed in his next life.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you start digging into things like that, that's when I think you get into the bad.
Okay. That makes sense. Let me ask this, because, you know, you say you leave a pinch of tobacco, as an offering. What if one doesn't have a pinch of tobacco, does it matter? I guess that what I'm getting to is the principle of the offering, the give something, take something type thing. Does it matter what the offering is, or can it, is it more the intent of I'm honoring you with this, you know, because I'm taking that. I mean, I'm not trying to be joking here, but.
And you got a good point, valid point. It's leaving something in exchange.
Yeah.
I was taught the old traditional way. So the traditional native way is to leave tobacco.
Okay.
But, you know, Europeans came in and they traded things.
Sure.
So, you know, they traded coins. They traded, you know, metals and things like that, knives and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, you're leaving something, you know, as an exchange. I see no problem with that.
And here's another interesting thing. When we're talking about, you know, we're talking about spirits here that or the protector, I guess it kind of depends what we're looking at. But they're, if it's a living, or it was a living person, they wouldn't have been from our time period. If you're going to do that, if you're going to leave something as a thank you, as an offering, as a this for that, should it be something that would have been recognizable at that point in time? Again, I'm not trying to be silly here, but let's say you're out for a hike and you have a picnic with you and you have fast food. Can you leave, you know, like a food offering or something like that? Literally, it's a Big Mac or whatever you have, but it's like a, you know, I'm going to leave this for that with, you know, positive intent. Can it be as simple as that?
Yeah, you can leave food offerings. I mean, the Cherokee believe in the little people.
Yeah.
And one of the things at gatherings and stuff is they take plates and put a little dab of each food on it and take it out in the woods and lay it down as an offering for the little people.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, you're looking at food.
Yeah.
If you've got a button, you know, a button on your shirt even. Something as simple as that, because, you know, buttons and things were traded with the natives.
Okay.
So, I mean, it could be as simple as that. A piece of meat, you know,
Would there ever be an something that the spirit would reject as an offering, or would that only be done if it's done, you know, with malice or some sort of, you know, just ill intent, like a non-respectful intent, like ha ha ha, I'm leaving you this, and you know, that sort of an attitude.
Yeah, I think with malice it would be. But okay. I mean, you know, if you're leaving something, like I said, you know, we'll go back to my reference point on the Hollywood thing. You know, if you're going with good intent, they don't bother you as long as you're going in with good intent. And the same with this. If you're leaving an offering with good intent, I think it's okay.
Sure.
That's just my personal feelings.
Sure. Sure. No, it's just, it's an interesting topic to dive into, and it's so fascinating to hear it from your perspective. That's, I love going into these things because it's like, oh, these are questions I can actually have answered by someone who will know them. So thank you. Let's go back to hearing more of your stories and some of your experiences as you got into investigating. Like you said, you've been doing this, you know, far before it was popular on television. Hell, you've been doing it like almost pre-Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries. So you're like really old school on it. That's awesome. So when you started digging more into this in an area of the country, in the Bible Belt, in the South, where that's not always taken too kindly, especially 40 years ago, how did you kind of begin that world? How did you dive into that with such a different, you know, social atmosphere?
Well, you know, every once in a while you'd run into somebody that had the same perspective of you as out trying to do this and trying to learn. And we'd kind of compare notes and say, hey, this is what I'm doing to do this. And this is what I'm carrying with me. And, you know, how are you doing this? Are you getting any contact? Where are some good locations you've been and things like that? And in the Bible Belt in Alabama and everything, when I first started too, most of your cemetery says do not enter after 5 p.m. sunset. You know,
yeah.
And so you were having to actually trespass into these areas and things. And, you know, growing up and, you know, growing in the field, not growing up, but growing in the field and everything, you learn, you know, that's disrespectful. Always have permission, you know, to go to these places. Don't trespass in on somebody's property. You wouldn't want somebody trespassing in on yours. Don't trespass on theirs. So we kind of tried to start doing that. And, I started out something just as simple as an old school recorder and a notebook and a pen, you know, and asking questions and trying to get EVPs and answers and hearing things, you know.
Yeah.
Taking pictures with the old cameras and stuff and seeing if there was anything that just showed up, a mist or orb. And I know orbs are debatable.
Sure.
But, you know, back then it was just trying to see if there was something just showed up in your photo. It graduated from that when taps came on, and then they started bringing in the equipments and things like that. The flashlight test, you know, we did flashlight tests and everything else. And we thought that was really cool. That was a really neat piece of equipment back then. But then as it progresses, it changes daily. As I tell people, you're in a new age scientific field. You're trying to prove something exists that you can't physically see. So, you know, there are no correct tools and there are no incorrect tools. Just whatever works for you. But there are a lot of tools out there that are being manufactured, and we try to stay up with our team with all of the new age, new stuff that's coming out. Back then, we just wander around and just do sessions and just keep notes. And then as it progressed, like I said, when taps came into the picture and everything and it progressed, more and more people would start giving you permission to, oh yeah, I saw taps on TV. I know what you guys are trying to do. Yeah, y'all could have permission to go in here and you can do this and you can do that. So it kind of opened the doors for us in other areas too.
That's interesting. That's great. I mean, that's exciting that had that sort of effect. I want to talk about the equipment here in a moment, but first I want to ask you in your experience and you're a guest who I can tell I'm going to need to have on a lot of times because there's so much information and so many roads we can go down. On your first appearance here, I'm just trying to, I guess, skim the surface of a lot of areas. But in your experience, once you got into this, once you said, okay, I'm going to start investigating, what was the first time, if there was a first time, into that world where you truly felt scared or terrified or something along those levels on an investigation that you had dived into?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of info too.
Sure.
Like I told you, when I first started doing this and everything, that was back about the time that I started working in the funeral home.
Yep.
And it being taboo, I'm sitting in the office one night and we had a priest coming in for a rosary. And I'd worked with this priest a couple other times and he knew I was not Catholic. Mm-hmm. But I was sitting there reading an article. I'd actually found an article about paranormal and I'm sitting there reading it. And I never heard him walk in and he walks up behind me. And he goes, and I just kind of folded the book right fast and stood up. I said, "Oh, hey, Father." He said, "Are you one of those ghost hunters?" And I'm like, "Yes, Father, I'm not going to lie to you. I do that." And he said, "Well, you know, the Catholic Church still does exorcisms." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So I know you're not Catholic, but if you're going to be dibbling in this kind of stuff, you need to come spend some time with me and let me teach you how to protect yourself and some other things." And so I spent 8 weeks with him. And one of the first things that he told me is no matter how scared you are, never show your fear. Never show you're scared. Never let on you're scared. Because if you do and it's something dark, then it has found your weakness.
Okay.
So I go in with the aspect of trying to show that I'm not scared of anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. I mean, what an experience to have a Catholic priest come up and say, number one, would, you know, are all of them capable of kind of teaching you these sort of things? Or was this something that he had some expertise in and you just kind of lucked out by running into him at that time?
He just happened to be the head of the diocese in Birmingham at the time.
Okay.
And so he came in and evidently he had some experience in it.
Yeah. So being in a kind of a higher up position, he would have, a little more. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So as far as protecting yourself, what sort of things did he teach you, you know, that you follow to this day? I know, obviously, show no fear, but 8 weeks, I'm sure it was a little more in depth than that.
I actually have a exorcism kit. I have, you know, blessed salt. I have holy water. Got a rosary that was blessed by the Pope, crucifix. I've got a couple of books that are in Latin and English with the prayers and all for exorcism and other books of prayer and things. So just depending on what we get into as to what we use.
So have you ever had to perform an exorcism yourself?
We have gone in and done cleansings. Mm-hmm. I could probably count on two hands the number of bad things that we've encountered.
Okay.
You know, we go in, we question when we get contacted, and I was just contacted while I was waiting on you just a few minutes ago. I've got to return the call, but we get contacted and, you know, everything's an emergency to most of these people. Everybody thinks it's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
But we go in and investigate. A lot of times it's not. It's not bad. It's just they're scared.
Sure. And that,
Yeah. So we go in and first we look and see what the problem is so we know what to do. Most of the time it's just a cleansing and asking them to leave, and, you know, doing the holy water and doing, doing the salt in the corners and things like that. But with the prayers, and when we're doing our prayers and everything to get rid of it, we ask the family members to come in behind us and read the prayer of St. Michael, which is a prayer of protection, mm-hmm. because we're leaving there. We're going to be protected. We're leaving there. They're the ones that's got to stay. Mm-hmm. So we ask them to do, you know, the prayers of St. Michael and all for their protection when we leave.
Let me ask you this, as we talk about, you know, the rituals that would go on and would, you know, for the exorcism, how does that work in terms of belief systems, comparing, you know, the Catholicism with the Native American belief system? Is it essentially, are we all talking about the same thing? You know, with the creator, and it's the power of the intent that matters versus who we're, you know, putting into the box of who's who. How does that all jive together?
Well, you want my personal opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it really is a personal opinion question. So, yeah.
Okay. My personal opinion on religion.
Yeah.
as if you read the King James Version of the Bible, okay, and it talks about Christ being crucified, then Christ resurrected. When he resurrected and everything, he went down and got the keys to the gates of hell, and then he ascended. But what is a timeline for a day, right? In the day of Christ, you know. So my opinion for prophecy to be fulfilled, that he had to appear to every nation in a way that they understood. And each one was given a different thing, like the white buffalo calf woman to the Lakota. And the pipe, you know. So I think that he appeared in order for prophecy to be fulfilled in that way. So I'm not saying anybody's religion is right.
Sure.
I'm not saying anybody's religion is wrong. I think we all just got a little piece of it. You know?
Interesting way. Yeah. No, I like that. I really do. I mean, I feel like so many things have been lost in translation. I think at the end of the day, we're all talking about the same thing, but it's like,
I get hit a lot on the King James Version here you know, being in the Bible Belt in the South. And I say, you know, but that is King James Version.
Yeah.
Was to say that King James didn't say, oh, this can go, but this, you know, this has to go and this can stay.
And historically, he did.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we can factually say those things.
So how much of that is not the true storyline?
Yeah.
And, you know, the hell and, you know, the fire and brimstone preachings and stuff like that, you know, they ruled with an iron fist back then in scare tactics. So who's to say that's not just part of the scare tactic that they wrote in?
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Ronnie Hadley about the haunting of Native American spirits. A big thank you to you for joining our program, keeping us on the air. We cannot do this without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law.
Conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.